from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast that ideally is a tool in your toolbox, or the podcaster that's a tool, not in your bedtime, oh boy, in your, the podcaster that's part of a tool, like part of your toolkit, not a tool. Though he's tooling around it because, you know, maybe for, you know, a little bit of bore giggles, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast to put you to sleep. And here's a few ways we keep this show going. Thanks. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Which, just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking... If the answer to those questions are yes, yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, we're kind of in that place right now. And the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. Oh, Mr. Bardo, who helps out on this show? A lot of people work very hard, right?
Chris Posty Posterson sounds like an earful. Wrote the theme song, edits episodes too. Carl W. the Lecture also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer are on a runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies. Got a new album out. I think you'll really like it. You can get a copy at Also, I made a longer version of this credits song. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. So proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Fail Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. You know, make sure you're subscribed to the show. It's an easy way to get the podcast automatically. Free to subscribe in your podcast app. I just noticed the other day, it's like 83, there's like 17% of regular listeners. It just makes it easier to listen to the show. You can do that in your podcast app, like I said. And let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, changes in time or temperature, stuff you're thinking about, stuff that you might be experiencing physically or emotionally, or it could be life stuff. You know, you could be traveling, you could be, someone else could be, whatever it is, I'm here to take your mind off it. I got this safe place here. I get it. It's roomy. There's plenty of... Come on in. Yeah, so let me show you around. Much roomier than a post office. Though, if you want to send mail or receive mail here, we probably could arrange that. We have had the request, I'd like to sleep in a bed of mail. That would be my safe place. I'd say consider it done. But let's see. Create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. So basically, I'm here to take your mind off of stuff, not keep it off of stuff. And one way I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents, a lot of goofiness. I tend to go off, I definitely will go off topic and play around. And the whole idea is, okay, so let me, if you're new, I'm glad you're here. Glad I caught you right up at close to the beginning. Let me just give you a couple heads up. This podcast is a little bit different, but I'm really glad you're here. I hope I can help you get to sleep or make bedtime a little bit less of a rigmarole or just keep you company. But structurally, what to expect, show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep the show free twice a week. Then there's an intro, and this can throw you off if you're new, which I totally understand because I listen to a lot of podcasts. The intro of the show is about 12 minutes long, 14 minutes, and then you get the business. So all told, like 16, 18 minutes or so. But that's kind of to ease you into bedtime. Instead of, like I said, like I'm here to help you fall asleep and not put you to sleep, to keep you company as you drift off. And I found over the years that, some people, also you're welcome to use the show however you want. But the nice thing about the intro is it's a long runway. And you could start your runway. This is an example, but it's like wherever you wish. Because some listeners start the show, then they get ready for bed. Right? So they're brushing their teeth. They're, you know, combing their hair. Maybe, you know, maybe they're, what do you call that? Bombing your, what was that called? Beard bombing. With a B-A-L-M. You know, like, I don't know if that's a thing couples do. But we probably should just skip right over that. You know, maybe you're bombing your feet. Maybe you're moisturizing. Whatever it is, petting your pets. You're getting ready for bed, getting comfortable. It would be, some people do journal, though I am a little bit distracting. I'm not a great podcast for journaling. Unless you're studying, you know, issues, and then you could listen, and you take some notes. You say, well, Scoot said detected this here. I say, yep, you got it. I'm human, H-U-M-A-N. So then, or some listeners are already in bed, but, you know, say, well, it takes me about 12 minutes to get into this. You know what I'm saying? You get comfortable, however it is. But that's kind of how the intro works. It also is just an example of where a regular podcast or podcaster would say, well, I could get to the point. Me, not my forte. You know what is my forte? Will Forte. He's my number one forte. Holy, has that been a joke before? Or is it, am I mixing up my vocabulary? I guess I'd say, am I an expert on Will Forte? No. Do I really like Will Forte? So, okay, you got me. But there was just a quick sidebar with my vocabulary brain. But it still sounds good to say my favorite. No, I think it is accurate. Not to my favorite forte is Will Forte. My forte. You know what I'm saying? Maybe has anyone ever written Will Forte? How many musicians do we have? How many people could write a song? Send it to me. My forte is, you know, I think everybody could, even when people are doing really good. I can't speak. I'm just imagining that Will Forte is doing good. But maybe send a message out there and say, what did I say the name of the song was? My forte is Will Forte. Oh, wait, another part of my brain, one with spectacles on, just said, it may not be pronounced forte. And I'd say, touche, buddy. Holy pun brain. Anyway, let me get back. I was trying to explain to new listeners that I go off topic during the intro instead of just introducing the podcast. So that worked great. Thank you, Will. Another reason to thank Will Forte. And where was I? Okay, so there's an intro. That's what I was trying to explain. It goes on about 12 or 14 minutes. Doesn't make a lot of sense. But it's here so you know I'm here to keep you company. And, you know, I'm going to goof around. It's to make bedtime barely amusing. So that's the intro. Then there'll be a little business. Then we're going to be talking about the back half of the season of The Good Place, the 2019 episodes, or what, you know, the newest one. So that'll be exciting. And, oh boy, was it like, if you want to talk about being H-U-M-A-N, really a lovely episode on humanity. So that was great. And some great surprise cameos. Holy cow, I'm just a picture. So anyway, so that's what we'll be talking about later. We won't cover too much of the plot, but a bit of it. You know, those episodes are 22 minutes. I'll be talking about that episode and things I thought of during that episode. Like, definitely be talking about Venn diagrams and Paul Scheer, because I've been waiting my whole life to talk about that. I may have talked about it before, but, you know, so somewhere in that 48 minutes, I'll be talking that it'll take me to cover a 22-minute episode. So that's what we have coming up, and it'll be in this kind of soothing. Now, this podcast doesn't work for everybody, so if you're new, and sometimes people think I'm kidding. Like, almost every person that listens to this podcast tells me, took two or three tries before it started working. Because, of course, you're skeptical. There's so many easy solutions out there. You know, quick solutions. This podcast is neither easy. You know, my creaky dulcets are not easy to get used to. Pointless meanders, not easy to get used to. And what was that? Or quick, right? It takes a little while to get you there. But I'm here for you the whole time. And believe it or not, this is a podcast you don't need to listen to. It's here to keep you company. But it, like I hear from people worldwide, some people listen to the show and they drift off. Some people listen to the show to keep them company. Some people listen to the show during the day to kind of get away from the day for a minute. But there's people that listen in every language, including English, that don't understand or can't comprehend what I'm saying. There's people that turn me down nice and low and listen to me. There's people that don't, that aren't human that listen. More and more, I mean, I guess this is a humble brag, more and more places where pets are, and animals are, I hear from that are playing the podcast, and they send me videos, and they're very cute and touching. And it goes for when I leave home. Normally, like I was dog sitting over the holidays, I would get the podcast going for Co and Sweetie, so they would, you know, they'd have a little background noise, ideally soothing. Oh, so you don't have to listen to me, especially if you're new. But here's the other thing, you can, and it goes with the part two, which is no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here for an hour. There's 299 other episodes ready to go if you need them. And the reason the shows are an hour, and the reason I'll be here till the very end, you know, working and, you know, part of my natural dullness is to keep you company, because I've been there without being able to fall asleep. And I make the show as much for those of you that fall asleep in the first 2 minutes as for those of you that are here to the very end, or those of you that are just waking up, you know, whatever time and trying to get back to sleep. I'm here to help. So I'm here to keep you company and walk at your side as you drift over that threshold from wake to sleep. Also, I forgot what tangent I went on already. What was I talking about? I know I was talking about a bit of mail. And whatever. So if you're new, that's kind of the rules, I guess, quote-unquote, around the podcast. But I really make the show because I want to help. It's like... I have issues on and off, and or waking up, or right now I have a couple of people that just returned from a trip that I've been hearing from in my personal life, and they're dealing with getting back on schedule. And it really is my honor, you know, a bit like this is kind of the start of a new year, and I've been making the show. This will be, I think, the sixth calendar year or the seventh, I don't know. And it really is an honor. It's so touching to know that I can sit here and I can try to almost put a smile on your face. And you can say, Scooch is here. I'm your boyfriend. I'm your boar bud. I am the jester of bedtime. Like if we could, like you'd say, you could be the jester of bedtime. You just got to dial it down a notch. And I'd say, already done. I don't even know. I just jest. I don't tur. You know, that's what a jester is. A tur is a jester, a tur of jests. But I jest at your behest. I jest. Is there like the Uber of jesters in like, oh boy. And those other things, I almost said it, the CL word, you know, that was in The Good Place, all those paintings. Anybody looking to invest in a startup and also just give me credit and part, you know, without me doing any work, we could call, you know, like one common thing to do is just take a letter out. So we could call it jester, you know, something like that. What did I say? Oh, we jest at your behest. And then boom, and we could do it for everything. I mean, this actually might be a sustainable model. You say, well, you need a magician for a birthday party, mariachi. Like we could cover all of these things. Maybe this, you know, and how about this? Just to add in a sleep with me touch. randomized freeness and random, like you could sign up for random deliveries. Like you'd say, well, I'm going to be around from Saturday from noon to seven. Again, nothing going, no party or anything. And then it just gives you an alert, you know, be on the lookout. You've been behested by the best. And then suddenly who shows up? But like a kazoo band. Or, you know, and maybe I could pull some strings, like Pentagon, you know, how, you know, we get a, like, a top name. I mean, that could be for our launch after Alpha, Beta, or whatever. Once we have a minimal viable product, in my imagination. But doesn't that sound nice? Like, if a magician just shows up, you know someone's coming, so you could be prepared. But I guess how often do people need stuff without planning? Just people, I mean, I guess people like us, right? You say, well, or it'd be nice too. Like if this would have been good for the holidays, you got guests over, like just your parents. You're sitting on your own couch with your parents. A lot of us have been there. You say, oh, hold on, let me check something on my phone. And, you know, you say, deliver. You know, and there could be specials. You say, oh boy, we got a paper airplane expert, running a special today in your area. And you say, send them over. Breakdancing elves? Oh boy, get them over here. You know, I realized that was like last month, but. So anyway, I don't know what I was talking about other than I'm here at your behest to barely jest, to take your mind off, because I think, I just want you to be able to relax and have some space. You deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. And that's all I want for you. So I'm here to help in the only way I can. Like I said, it doesn't work for everybody, but give it a few tries and see how it goes. I work very hard. I yearn and I strive to help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we keep the show going. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and I actually need you to listen to this message. If you're a regular listener, Sleep With Me. If you're new, don't worry about it. But we've got some big decisions with the show on the horizon, so I really, really need your help. If you are a regular listener, Sleep With Me, and it has changed how you sleep, you rely on the show, you like the show, it does something for you, or you feel good about the podcast, you like it, or you count on it, I really got to ask you to take action. So if Sleep With Me means something to you, or you like it, if you can afford to support the show directly, or you're willing to consider up giving up one takeout lunch a month to support Sleep With Me, try out a trial of Sleep With Me Plus and test out Sleep With Me Plus over the 7-day trial and just see what you think. But I think you'll find you'll be blown away, because there's so many different ways to listen to Sleep With Me and stuff like that. So if you think you can afford to support the show, please do that at Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And if it doesn't make a difference to you, like it's like I can move on to something else if you stop making the show, or you decide to put out way, way less episodes, or you change what you're doing, I totally am fine with that. That's fine. But if Sleep With Me really does make a difference for you, I mean, I love making the show. I don't like being direct, because I usually get way more not nice emails when I'm direct about stuff. But I don't want to put out a message like 3 months from now and be like, you know what, we're changing things up and we've made some hard decisions. I want you to be a part of this decision-making process, because it's really like the other time Sleep With Me's been in this place. It's just taking being direct and saying, hey, if you care about the show, I need you to think about doing something about it. So think about it. It'll be cool. Like I trust that there's enough of you out there that get so much out of the show, because I've heard from you before. So yeah, check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, or take one of those other actions. And what do you say we get on with the show? All right, everybody, it's time to talk about The Good Place. Welcome back from our little Good Place break, season break, I guess you could say. I think they call it a mid-season, three-quarter season break. So this is episode 11, season 3, The Book of Dougs. You could tell me who wrote The Book of Dougs. Let's see what my handwriting says. Holy forking shirt balls. Something I can't say. Power proven lay. Squeezle. Quizzle. Eleanor definitely is the one who says, oh, previously. Then Eleanor says, holy forking shirt balls. Oh, it was quick. My note says quick. It was a quick previously. It goes right into the episode. There's smiles. Tahani says, very carpeted. Wall-to-wall carpeting they had. Jason mentions go-karts, being driven by monkeys. So go-karts being driven by monkeys in sunglasses and Hawaiian shirts. That's what Jason expects in The Good Place. Michael tells everybody to take a deep breath. And Eleanor says, it smells like Typhoon Falls here. And he says, yeah, it smells like whatever... whatever makes you happy. I think it was whatever smells make you happy or something. Chidi says, oh, wait, smells like warm pretzels. No, like absolute moral truth. Similar smells, Janice says. Blake Bortles holding a Super Bowl trophy, talking to Dan Patrick. I owe it all to my best friend, Jason Mendoza. Also weed, he says. And, of course, Tahani says, it smells like the closing of the curtain between first class and economy. She uses economy. You think that's what everybody uses now, because you say they have economy, and then you realize, now when you buy a ticket to an airplane, it actually wobbles. Like, you say, well, is it a negatively charged ion or a positively charged one? You say, oh, no, you get the ticket that for regular people. No, that's economy negative. Economy less. Economy light. That's what they could use. They say, yeah, it's economy light. Also, you're going to have to pay me in economy plus tickets if you want to use economy light or coach light. I like that. I think I'd feel less than that than saying, well, if it's not plus, I just got like a. Because they say, no, you don't have economy either. There's economy plus, there's economy, and then there's economy within the realm of non-business travelers by paying their own tickets. And I say, okay, anyway, I got to get back to this episode. Mail depot, mail, then I said mail from heaven. This is interesting to me. I don't really have time to look into it, but a lot of correspondence going on in The Good Place. Which I guess it would make sense. They would send each other a lot of notes. Janet, no follow on it and keep a low profile. Oh, Janet makes it so no one could follow them. They say we got to keep a low profile. It opens chapter 37. Cover story. You're a neutral Janet. This is Michael. The rest of you won a contest. Really? Then there's a funny, this is a really mature episode. They make jokes, because they say, we could do, pretend we're refugees from the bad place. That's the truth, actually. We don't need to pretend. And Jason says, what kind of messed up place would turn away refugees? And Mike says, well, they never break the rules here. And then we see my favorite, you know, you want to talk about the book and Nicole's. I got a lot of favorite Nicole's out there, including some listeners to the podcast. But one of my favorite Nicole's, I actually spent the holiday watching her with my daughter, Nicole Byer. And she says, really lights up the screen. She says, what the heck is going on in there? And she goes, are those the sweet tones? Oh, no, I said that. Are those sweet tones of Nicole Byer? She didn't say that. Then I put uniform, maybe? Lots of lies, unfortunately. Jason's crushing the jokes, as usual. I think her name's Gwendolyn. It is Gwendolyn. Geez Louise, she says, but you're in the Postal Service. Winged horse or a Pegasus on patch for the Good Place Postal Services. They also have a sidearm patch with 3 stars and then a bar and then 2 stars. Neutral Janet, she says, end of statement. Won a contest. They say, why are they here? They put actually won a COFS. That must be Drew's shorthand for contest. Corner place, curtain, fan paper, rot speed like a hat. Let's see if I can destroy 500 trillion miles north, south, north of here. That's where the main office is. A door to goods, ward contest, McGuire. Let's see what this says. Corner space, fun paper. What does that say? Fan paper. Rot sped like a hat. This is really like a, sometimes I wonder if maybe I could try communicating with AI, because this is the kind of stuff when you say, hey, can you translate what I'm saying? I honestly don't know any of this says. Corner space, curtain, fan, fun paper, rot, sped like a hat. I mean, I'm watching Gwendolyn and Michael talk at 5 minutes in the episode or so. Chidi and Eleanor have a long convo, so maybe it was about that. I don't know, 500 trillion miles, because he's like, I want to meet with the council. Maybe that's it, correspondence council? Let's move on. Newest to contest, McGuire. Oh, Weird Contest Magazine. That was good. I liked that. Yeah, the place they're in, it's a house, though, and it looks like the kind of house you'd go to on an old homes tour or like a bed and breakfast, where you'd say, okay, this probably doesn't have a hot tub, but it might have, I don't know. I never, like an older, like maybe 1800s style house. I don't know what kind of, like stylistically I wouldn't be comfortable in. Or what does that say? Or swearing Eleanor wants out for sure. This was a claim I didn't have time to investigate. That four Oreos are 2 inches thick. 2 inches thick. Yeah, that would be probably correct. I guess I was picturing 1 inch. So that means one Oreo is a half inch. Totally makes sense. I'm sorry, Eleanor, forever even doubting that. That's definitely correct. This is a great quote. Four Oreos away from heaven. I'm here with you. Deep breath. That's what Chidi says. Michael kind of plays Gwendolyn. I don't know if I was comfortable with that. He's in his blue and lavender. You know, he's in the Bad Place Michael outfit, oddly enough. Gwendolyn says, what a fun thought experiment. A correspondence center. That's what my notes earlier must have been that I couldn't read. Michael still uses the phone without permission. Says, I'm going to meet me at the top. He calls the council, says, meet me at the top floor correspondence center. Tahani had some great comedic moments too. She says, Jason, you seem thoughtful. There's a little bit of a subtle physical humor. And she leans in. And then he says, yeah, I kind of sort of read the Janet's diary. That's how it feels. It's an awkward moment. And then he kind of talks to Janet about it. He says, I was looking for rollerblades. And she says, neutral Janets don't have feelings. End of conversation. And she has to say that more than once. Michael facing self-taught. Oh, so Michael's kind of trying to do some positive self-talk. And then the five-sided thing, like an igloo-like thing, comes in. And I looked it up. I think it's, I'll have the correct name of it when I do the research part. But it was like a five-sided cube. I think that's a tetrahedron or something. I think it has one other, I don't know. But yeah, it's a tetrahedron or something. But it has thumbs ups on it. And then if it couldn't get one more thing, Paul Scheer appears. Well, I hope I don't forget to talk about Paul Scheer and Venn diagrams, because I didn't write that down. Michael was holding the Book of Dougs. I didn't do my Paul Scheer research, but most of this is just, I think I've talked about it on the podcast before. Let me get through the episode. I'll try to cross my fingers here. Thank you, they say, super nice, something, everyone focus up, I liked that, we need some fresh peaches, They say, well, poulets are in season. Okay, we'll get a bunch of them, as many as we can handle. It's the whole council. There's six people on the council. Jimmy. Then we go to Eleanor, who's trying to jimmy the lock. The only thing that happened, I can't get the lock undone. Because I missed this. There's a door straight to the good place, but humans can't open it. They have to go through that door. There's 500 trillion miles to the main entrance, north, south, north of there. Chidi proposes, I just noticed, not to quibble, but Paul Scheer does not have a fleece vest on. He has a down vest on. He does have DAD jeans on. This is a character, not the real Paul Scheer. Chidi says, what do we have our first date? Four Oreos away from paradise. That's another, I guess that was the second time that was stated in a different way. Michael Pronk, he makes a presentation to the council. And at first, really, this episode is so mature. I'm not even kidding you. It really shows the depth of The Good Place as a production. He says the only explanation is a bad place rigged the system. Someone probably cool harned rammed about tower types. They say, people at The Good Place are awful. And he goes, no, some of them are probably cool, handsome, man about town types. Then they say, we're going to talk. And they say, Kellen is going to shower you with compliments. Says, you got some great gravitas going, Michael. Then we go down and everybody's sorting mail. And Gwendolyn says, how did you two meet? She meets Tahani and Jason, since they're married ostensibly. And again, the advanced level of Jason's jokes. He says, we met in brain school and we got married because nothing mattered. He delivered it. But he actually delivered the lines. Are all humans as attractive as you two? Tiny goes, no, definitely not. Janet, this is not easy. So Janet Tahani talks, she goes, I'm not sure where, these are new emotions for me. I don't want them coming out my butt. Then we're back at First Date Central, where they're using flashlights as a candle. Chidi does. Then Eleanor has a champagne bottle, which is Gwendolyn's, and the note was, Dear Gwendolyn, here's some champagne for thanking me, for thanking you, for thanking me, for thanking you, for thanking me, for giving you champagne. And then Chidi's not on screen, and he goes, okay, and I got one more surprise for you. And let's see, I think... What does Eleanor say? Holy forking fork. I think that's what she said. Chidi's a sexy mailman. At first, I thought Chidi had just had no shirt on, because when the first time I saw him without a shirt, I said, holy fork. Actually, I said, holy friggin' forking Chidi's chest. Shirtless Chidi. That's when I determined it was shirtless Chidi. But this time, he's clothes. He has shorts on, show off his calves and stuff. And his arms are showing because he has short sleeves. He's dressed as a sexy mailman. Eleanor is a little SAD, because of the situationally. Then council says, we're going to take decisive action. We're going to form a team to look into it. So we won't take more than 400 years to select team members. The term nowish is used. There's a great podcast called Soonish. That you should check out. Someone I know named Wade makes it. He's a really great guy, too. They say, we're the good guys. We can't just do stuff. Because Michael says, we got to do it soonish or nowish. And then they talk about a memorandum. And then Kellen says, hear, hear. And then they say, Kellen, did you file a hear, hear memorandum? And he goes, no, I rescind my hear, hear and resign, effective immediately. This is so good. Then we're back in the mailroom. I didn't realize how well they did this this closed location thing. So, I mean, they used different rooms. So it probably wasn't easy to shoot, but how much it like went on in inside this one mail depot. We have Tahani, Jason, and Janet. And Tahani says, here's a big farm did us part. So we're no longer fake married. Then Tahani uses his term vaxxed, which I love. No, vaxxed, though. I didn't say faxed. We got vax. We got das a vax. Never mind misfire. Tears taste like nacho cheese. I don't know if those are Janet's tears or Tahani's tears. No, those are Eleanor's tears. A lot of tears, but no fears. This was all mostly positive crying. What it is, nay, don't worry. Oh, what if we don't worry, Chidi says to Eleanor. There is only one time that matters, that is important now. It's a Tolstoy quote that Eleanor recognizes from, it wasn't a Rihanna, Instagram, but something, I don't know. And Chidi says, I got to quote one more person. Scoots loves to quote too. You got to try. Eleanor Shellstrop, 2018. And then it's hilarious. Eleanor says, you know what? I got to try. And she puts her eyebrows up. And it's really funny. There's a lot of back and forth time. It was eyebrow up time. If you're catching my eyebrows going up. Also in the meeting room with Michael and the council, there was lots of rugs in there. They had returned. Michael called them dorks in fleece vests. I guess he did. He probably meant it metaphorically, though. And he talks about the bad place. He's going to, Tahani says, I got some other unrelated stuff. Michael goes, this isn't a good time. Unrelated question. There's a great face on that moment. Then he says, she says, then Michael says, he kind of loses his stack. And then she says, Michael, I need some help. She goes, how do you make Jason happy? And he goes, you give him a lollipop shaped like a transformer. And then Tahani kind of talks about, Jesus, it had these unintended consequences to well-intentioned actions. And that's when the light bulb goes off over Michael's head, because he goes, light bulb going off over my head. We got the whole, it's not just one Doug. We got this whole book of Dougs. So then he opens up the Douglas Weingar, and it's a DXX, like some symbols, 89 or something. These are some of my notes, though. 12 roses. He gives 12 roses to his grandmother as a birthday gift. It's talking about his points totals. Final Alfred Al paint test. He gets plus 145. Oh, final attributed point total. Plus 145.11918 points. Then it breaks it down. Like, what are the positive impacts? A gift thoughtful, well-intentioned, plus 44.191. Gift received well, plus 31.046. Roses gathered personally, 31.487. Roses transported with minimal environmental impact, plus 27.003. Roses located on private land, or private land, plus 10.663. Top relevant point subtractions, result decrease to natural beauty of surrounding area, negative 0.313. Slight negative impact on local bees, negative 3 point something, I think. I'm watching it right now. This is the other one. We'll get to Douglas Ewing here. Also, I would say that this Douglas Weingar was born in 1537 in Hawkhurst, England. Then we bounce over to Douglas Ewing from Skaggsville, Maryland, 14th of July, 2009. It was at 18:22:02 local time. And it's the same thing. His case number is like D, a couple of numbers, dash 94. He also has like a identifier number. I don't want to give it out, though, you know, just in case. I don't want you spoofing Douglas Ewing's, you know, Good Place passport. But here we go. He gave 12 roses to his grandmother as a birthday gift, but his final attributed point total is negative 4.03368. And you might say, Scooch, gosh, goodness, why? And I'd say, well, I'll tell you why, actually. The original, the positive additions were the gift was thoughtful and well-intentioned, plus 41.189. And the gift was well received, received well. Grandmother was happy, plus 31.846. So right up there around 73 points. But then it starts to plummet because of the negative impacts in really the summary of the episode. Roses were purchased with smartphone, environmental impact, wages, labor, trade, which you can see on Appendix N42 sub-point W91 for related smartphone issues. It's a negative 62.487. Roses are artificially grown, you know, growing environment, pest stuff. You can also see a prior report on flora fauna, cited sub, also see work of accounts, Gary, Lisa, and others regarding soil degradation. Western Hemisphere free trade of decorative flowers. That's negative 45.008 points. Workforce where the roses came from. That's negative 33.073. Yeah, really, you know, there's a clue's a 0.009 deduction for 1.5% of the total costs used to pay. Even, you know, they're just like really. Transportation impact was 12.285. The celebrity or the store where he bought them, that person was not great. Let's see. Well, let me see what the little details are. Fenderbreck flowers. The guy's just not Derek Fenderbreck. Man, Derek's do not do well on this show. Yeah, so that was just like a little in-depth look at Michael's charts. Michael's excited. He says, he's just not the bad place. Every day, the world gets a little more complicated, and being a good person gets a little bit harder because of all these impacts we have. This is just the truth. We really use cognitive dissonance to get around, or at least I do. Get the others. We have a lot to do. And then Tony says, but you didn't really deal with my thing, which I think is even an extra, you know, little bonus on the joke. But then she gives a wonderful apology to Janet. In summary, she says, I'm sorry and I love you both very much. Janet cries, Tahani cries. Also something. Oh, also she's, Tahani's crying about the carpeting. Jason cries to be a part of things. Like Stan, what does that mean? Like something. Oh, like Stan, like he does have a bit of Laurel and Hardy in him. Like Stanny, he cries a bit like Stan in a good way. Rose it up. What is it? Rose it up, that's what it says. There's something. I have turn into jade, doorman. Oh, the ruse is up. I think that's what I put. Because Gwendolyn, the truth comes out, and Gwendolyn says, I got to turn you into the judge. Mike says, I already contacted the judge. The doorman shows up. He says, hey, Frogman, the judge will meet you at IHOP in something, the good place, huh? And then he says, oh, this is a good place, huh? He goes, it smells like frogs. Cool, let's go. And they go, IHOP, What do you mean, IHOP? Isn't that, Jason says, that's tight. And then Michael says, no, it's the International Hole of Pancakes. Not great, but we got to go there to save humanity. And then Chidi still dressed as a sexy mailman. He says, do you mind if I go change first? He goes, they go, no. Would you just really added one more button? So I thought, that was hilarious. And then there's a long wave goodbye from Gwendolyn, which is just really great. So, and that's how the episode comes to a close. So that was good. So let's just see what came up for me in this episode, right? The Book of Ducks. You know, first thing I said is who wrote the book of love? But who wrote the book? You know, who wrote the Book of Love? Literally, the song. And the Book of Love, also titled "Who Wrote the Book of Love," originally by the Monotones. It was written by the three members of that group, Warren Davis, George Malone, and Charles Patrick. Lead singer Charles Patrick, this is from Wikipedia, heard a Pepsodent commercial with the line, "Wonder where the yellow went." And that's where the idea, I wonder who wrote the Book of Love. And they started doing it. They also got an idea from a kid kicking a ball in the garage when they were rehearsing. And as far as 50 songs go, that's actually a 50 song I actually like. And also, oddly enough, Shana and I performed that song at Woodstock. So it's pretty cool, the tie-ins. Okay, I got to go back. I'll talk about Wall to Wall Carpet, and then I'll talk about Paul Scheer for a little bit. Not facts, just good stuff, though. I mean, you don't need facts. Okay, so Fitted Carpet, or Wall to Wall Carpet, you know, everybody's probably experienced it. It kind of is baffling, its ubiquitousness, because it is so, you say, what in the heck were we thinking? And then you say, well, then you go, well, it's convenient, you know, so you go back and forth on it. It was intended to cover a floor entirely, used with the use of a power stretcher. I didn't know that. Fitted carpets were originally woven to the specific area they were covering. Later, they were made in small strips around the time stair carpet became popular. My stairs do have, actually, I have wall-to-wall carpet in my, I just realized that I'm sitting on wall-to-wall carpet. I mean, I didn't have anything to do with it because I live in an apartment, but it's kind of, the floors here are concrete, so it had to have carpet, I guess. Carpets were held in place by individually nailed tacks. I can't believe I just totally got burned by myself. I was literally thinking, I don't know, sometimes we're, as humans, we're so hilarious. It was the introduction of a tack strip or a smooth edge that simplified the installation of wall-to-wall carpeting, increasing the neatness of the finish at the wall. Because the gripper strips are essentially the same thickness as the underlay, they yield a level edge, whereas tacking used to give it an uneven edge. And there's three types, so loop pile, cut carpet, and structured carpet. I think I have structured carpet. Very popular in the 60s, thanks to colorful prints. Most carpets took a decorative appearance inside of houses. One of the most famous carpets was given by Louis XIV to George Washington, and it's in Mount Vernon, where you can still see it today. So, yeah, and there's a bit different. There's just a little bit on Wikipedia about that. Okay, so I want to talk about Paul Scheer a little bit, who's an actor, and I didn't have time to Google anything. So this is more of a, this is just something I use when I'm talking about why I love podcasting. And I don't think I ever got good at explaining it. Like, I like to talk about Paul Scheer is a great example of how Venn diagrams work in podcasting, and how podcasting just makes you like people even more. And if you like someone, or you kind of have a positive disposition to them by consuming, like getting to know them more on podcasts. I guess I really am botching this, but here's my history with Paul Scheer. So he was like, first he came on my radar because he was on, he's on a fantasy football show, which of course I can't think of the name of it right now. And I would only catch that show occasionally, but he said, I like this person. And then came this moment in my life with Paul Scheer. I'll never forget it. One of the great moments for me of just seeing someone shine on TV, like in an improv way. He was on a TV show called The Talking Big Farm Show about when people, it's like about a popular TV show where people go to the big farm, but their bodies stay here running around and doing stuff. It's called The Walking Big Farm. And this show is The Talking Big Farm, where they talk about the episodes. Usually they have some celebrities on there. And it's one episode they had Paul on, right? And it's right after the show, so it's pretty close to live to tape. And they usually have a couch, so they have a guest from the show and then a celebrity guest like Paul or Mr. Scheer, I guess. And he was sitting there in the second seat. Anyway, like kind of like a, like just, a, you know, being funny, being himself, talking about how much he loved the show, talking about the episode. And they went to commercial break. Now, when the people are there, they're mic'd either with lav mics or the boom mics. I'm not sure. But they came back from the commercial, and Paul was holding a microphone. And it was just strange. Like, it just couldn't help but note. You see, like I said to myself, was he holding a microphone before they went to commercial? And instead of ignoring it, they addressed it. And the host, Chris was like, hey, Paul, your mic went out or whatever. And then he did like literally like about 4 milliseconds of fake stand-up. But it was just such a hilarious, to me, it was a very hilarious moment where he was kind of saying yes. And it was just really good. I don't know if it's probably somewhere out there. And that went from me. I guess this doesn't have anything to do with, it does have to do with podcasts, kind of. But it went from me kind of like being aware of Paul Scheer, liking him, to loving him. He said, I love this man now. That one moment, he said, I love this man. If I could embrace him, I would. And then I started to become, I said, wait a second, he's really involved in podcasts. And then I would listen to him on podcasts and like not just the podcast he's on. Which is with another Good Place, with the original Derek from the Good Place, How Did This Get Made? I don't know. I started listening to him as a guest on podcasts, and then I realized the show he was on was called The League. And it's always nice to see him in other projects, like recently or last year, he was in The Disasters Artist, which was just, he was great in that, and it was just nice to see him. So I guess I was already rooting for him with that tiny moment on the big farm after show. So I don't know what I guess my point was more, I guess my point is with podcasters, when I try to talk to people about, geez, it's kind of scary making a podcast. You don't know if anybody's going to listen or anything. I think about the world of people that consume stuff, like comedy stuff. Then you think about the world, the Venn diagram of people who know who Paul Scheer is. I was once just that. I was within that diagram, but I wasn't in the people who call Paul Scheer their beloved. Maybe that's a strong thing. Or people that consume Shearers, I think, but that might get mixed up with Harry Scheer. But that's like another like circle within that thing. And like, I moved into that circle. I think it's like the more you get to know somebody, I don't know, never know what my, no wonder this wasn't a speech. It's like the deeper into that circle you go, but then you also have to look at the overlap. Like you might say, in my case, I didn't know Jason Mantzoukas until I crossed over into Shearsville. And then I said, oh, who is this wonderful and hilarious person? And in this case, you say, well, they have Nicole Byer. I have nailed it. Now, Good Place. The Good Place is its own Venn diagram. Hopefully, it'll bring it to new people into Nicole's projects, which would be cool. So I think that was my point about all that stuff. Okay, let's get on to our notes here. Okay, so where were we? Fitted carpet. Well, let's talk about sports night, because Dan Patrick came up. And I watched a couple seasons of West Wing recently, And it really reminded me of the brilliance of Aaron Sorkin's writing. And I said, I remember watching Sports Night, but I have never rewatched it. So it might be worth checking out. It was an American television series about a fictional sports show called Sports Night, very similar to Sports Center, but mostly on the behind-the-scenes things, according to Wikipedia, friendship pitfalls and ethical issues of people trying to make a good show with network pressure. It was a half-hour comedy drama. It was on ABC for two seasons. It says here 45 episodes. Robert Guillaume was like the manager. I mean, there you go. That's a reason enough to watch it. It gets better. Felicity Huffman, Peter Krause. I always forget which one it is. Josh Charles, who's someone I like, adore too. Sabrina Lloyd, Joshua Molina from The West Wing. Also William H. Macy, Brenda Strong were on it. And even the late great Penny Marshall. So really it was just a really funny, well-written show and well-performed. So worth checking out. I don't know. Maybe I'll try to catch a couple episodes. It says, although the first season is a sitcom, kind of the second season maybe starts to become something more like The West Wing. And then another shorter-lived series that I watched, Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. So definitely, if it's in your radar, check it out. Who is Dan Patrick? Let's see real quick, according to Wikipedia. American sportscaster, radio personality, and actor from Mason, Ohio. Hosts the Dan Patrick Show on radio, works on Football Night in America. A senior writer for Sports Illustrated, worked at ESPN for 18 years, on the especially on the Sunday 11 p.m. edition. Just in case, because I say some people, Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann are usually mentioned together as kind of the people who kind of helped Sports Center become maybe what it is today. And that kind of the Sports Night was kind of a tribute, like, a, I don't know, not a tribute to them, but influenced by them. Okay, what about a pentatetrahedron? That's what I was trying to say earlier, which is a polyhedron with five sides or faces. One should know that I'm probably wrong. No, actually, it's not. That's not what I was talking about, though, because it doesn't look anything like it. There's a third topological polyhedral figure with five faces, hosohedron. I don't know. I think the what would it be if it was a cube made, a dice made of tetra? Like, would it have, maybe it has more than five sides? Because what is a pentahedron? Is either a square, pyramid, or a triangular prism? Which wasn't on this episode, so I guess I was wrong there, but that's fine. You know, an octopetrahedron is what I may be talking about. Oh, what about, where's this note here? Tales of Typhoon Lagoon. Typhoon Lagoon's in Disney World. Typhoon Falls was a place in Arizona Eleanor was referring to. This is from allears.net by Jim Corcus. It was in the January 17th, 2012 issue, number 643 of All Years. And I'll just kind of basically, this is a history of it. Disney's first water park opened in 1976. That was River Country. It was the first completely themed water park. They said, hey, let's build another water park. Okay, this is a lot of this is about River Country, which is interesting too. Typhoon Lagoon opened June 1st, 1989, across the street from Pleasure Island. It was home to the world's largest outdoor surf pool, not just a wave pool, the article says. According to the backstory, Disney Imagineers said a storm came through and swept here to Typhoon Lagoon, and left took the small Placid Palms Resort and made it into a, created all the wave things, and a lot of the theming. Lucky inhabitants used their not great fortune to transform Placid Palms into the Leaning Palms Resort, referencing the fact that some of the remaining palm trees were uprooted. The local residents rebuilt their town the best they could using found objects. Upon entering Typhoon Lagoon, according to Randy Bright, guests find themselves in a ramshackle tin-roofed island village landscaped with cargo, surfboard, and other marine stuff. Originally, it was called Splash, named after the Touchstone movie. Let's see. The entrance is, you know, I've been here with my, I went here with my daughter. We had a lot of fun. Tilly, the main hallmark says the Typhoon Lagoon is Mount Mayday. And up there is Miss Tilly, and she shoots water out of her roof every once in a while, every 30 minutes, according to this, 50 feet in the air. And in 2005, they added the Crush and Gusher, old fruit washing and packing plant, and that has these really cool rides. I did an episode about it where Ray talks about all this. He really liked visiting there. Let's see, we'll cover Pluots, which are P-L, is spelled, just in case you play Scrabble or something, P-L-U-O-T, I couldn't spell it. Pluots, Apriums, Apriplums, and Plumcots are some of the hybrids between the Prunus species. I've been called a Prunus species before, that are also interspecific plums, where Plumcots and Apriplums are first-generation hybrids between a plum parent and an apricot. Pluots and apriplums are later generations. Pluots are later generation of a hybrid that are genetically 1/4 apricot and 3/4 plum. Didn't know that. The exterior has a smooth skin like a plum. Yeah, that's about it. I enjoy those. I'm going to link to this article. I tweeted it out on New Year's. It's from New York Times. What is glitter? It's by Katie Weaver. I'm not going to even try to get into this article. It's just so well written and so interesting. It's from December 21st, 2018. What is glitter in the New York Times? Read it. You really enjoy it. And I know like a lot of craft people have strong opinions on glitter. That's totally cool. What about gravitas? Let's get some SAT words in here. Gravitas, G-R-A-V-I-T-A-S, is one of the Roman virtues. Appreciated in leaders. It is translated variously as weight, serious, dignity, importance, pronunciation. It connotes a certain substance or depth of personality. Also conveys a sense of responsibility and commitment to the task. In the British education system, this is all according to Wikipedia, gravitas is seen as a pillars of the moral formation. This was during Victorian and Edwardian eras. So it's gravitas. Here's another one, vexed. It's pronounced with a V, but V-E-X-E-D. Vexed can be annoyed, irritated, distressed, or much debated, discussed, or disputed. So just a word I love, vexed. Yeah. No comment. And here, you say where? Here is an expression used as a short, repeated form of hear them. It represents a listener's agreement with a point being made by the speaker. It was originally an imperative for directing attention to speakers and has since been used, according to Oxford English Dictionary, as a regular form of cheering in the House of Commons with many purposes. Use in a parliament is linked to the fact that applause is normally forbidden in the House of Commons and the House of Lords. So that's interesting. That's Wikipedia too. Also linked to an article about the Royal Mail. It's pretty long, which was a postal service and courier company established in the UK in 1516. Used to be private, I mean, a public service, and now it's a public limited company. When it became, you know, following the 2011, 2013, maybe it's not. It's just UK government initially had a 30% stake. It can be traced to Henry VIII, who established a master of posts, which was renamed Postmaster General in 1710. This is kind of a link to the article, but I was really thinking about it. Is like when you think about democracy. I was just really thinking this week about thank goodness for the ability to send letters for a buck or whatever it costs now. I don't know, and especially when it's not. I mean, this is just my preference, I guess. As a public benefit, it does feel like. If it costs everybody the same and it's like really inexpensive, that's an important thing, at least to me. So I'm glad Henry VIII, I don't know if that was the first one, probably not. So yeah, you should just, that's a little bit of came up on the show tonight. Thanks so much for listening and good night. All right, I want to thank everybody that reviewed the podcast or commented on it. I want to thank Raimundo. I want to thank Miguel, who commented on CastBox. Found this podcast a week ago. Love it. Very helpful. I sleep like a baby. Thank you. Thank you, Miguel. And then the people who reviewed the show over on Apple Podcasts or in iTunes on their desktop. Lil Miss Jazzy from the U.S. says, the hype is legit. I've always had trouble sleeping. When I do, I wake up half-rested and more tired than before. I don't know what kind of mind power Scooter has or... how we got him, but DRAN. All I know is I'm out cold and I wake up feeling refreshed and ready to go. I honestly have no clue what he's talking about. Cannot recall a single story because I rarely make it past the intro. I'm always tired when I go to bed, but Scooter has gifted me with a way to calm my mind enough to sleep. I rarely write reviews and I never have much money to donate, but this show is at the top of my list. Thanks, Jazzy. Mademoiselle R to the A to the T says, thank you, Scooter. I've been having trouble sleeping for several years. Usually I wake up around 3 a.m. Can't get back to sleep for a few hours. Sometimes not at all. I decided to see if listening to podcasts could help. I came across a review, Sleep With Me, download a few episodes to see if it would work. The first episode I started listening to made me think there was no way I could ever fall asleep while someone talked about nothing. Well, was I ever proven wrong? I must have fallen asleep within 15 minutes, woke up at 3 a.m., turned it back on. Miracle or miracle, the magic happened again. Now I'm hooked. Love listening to the jingles. I've become a patron. I send money to Scooter because he's made such a difference in my life. If you're a patron, you get extra episodes to listen to commercial-free. But I must admit I like the regular ones because the jingles are clever and soothing. It's been over 2 months. I have not felt this rest in years. I would highly recommend you become a patron. This is what this guy does to support himself and his daughter. Worthy cause indeed, and you can feel good about supporting. Enjoy. Thank you. I don't know why. Kit Tev says, 5 stars. I don't know why, but this podcast is like a sleeping pill. When I first listened, I actually laughed out loud a couple times because it seems so absurd. The joke was on me a couple of minutes later when I was sleeping like a baby. I let podcasts play throughout the night, unintentional first time, and it kept me asleep. E to the H says, what is happening? I haven't been able to fall asleep without medicine for some time. I don't want to count on medicine forever. Guided meditations, guided relaxation, good sleep hygiene, nothing worked until I met my boyfriend. Every time I put the podcast on, I fall asleep. When I wake up, I put another episode on, and I fall asleep again. I had to listen to an episode during the day to see if where I was falling asleep. Let me say it's thoroughly entertaining. It's the most hysterical, random, nonsensical stuff. Just how my brain works. It's structured to keep the fleeting tangents light. Thank you, Scooter, for doing what you do and doing it well. Service you provide is a great addition to my toolbox, so that's a perfect way to sum it up, too. And it's helping you change your life. I'm the tool in your toolbox. That's perfect for a intro, so a future intro. Here's someone who disliked it. I guess they didn't listen too much. So Luke says 95% of the podcast is great. He puts you to sleep, keeps you to sleep. one issue, the jingles, and you might not think it, but it wakes me up. It's such an oversight. Well, no, it's not an oversight. It's what keeps the show furry, actually. I can't believe they realize this interruption could be taken out. We could take it out. We just wouldn't have two episodes a week. Because they listen all night. If you listen all night, you really either have to get used to the jingles or support the show. This person also doesn't like the intros. Yes, the intro is 15 minutes, and it's an unnecessary explanation and request for money. Awful. Please get rid of the music and explaining the intro. I would pay a subscription if it weren't for the music in the intro. Says Luke. Maybe Luke found his way to become a patron, though. This person also didn't like the intro. Way too long. That's Mary from the UK. It takes forever to get started. Autostar, though, from the UK, says soothing sounds and stories. I love a good ramble. Really relax me. No pressure to actively listen, but to allow the voice and sounds to wash over you. Really good stuff, helpful in my sleep missions. And then Krim Takes a Lap says, oh no, there's two more. Okay. Krim Takes a Lap says, lost it here. Sorry, Krim. Somewhat hypnotism. Some just suggest this podcast. It really didn't do for me. Oh, years later, I think we did, we did read this one. Yeah. Then it started again. They came back. They listened to it a few years ago. It didn't like it. They came back. They liked it. So thank you so much. Sleep With Me exists because of people who go out of their way to support the show, either financially by being a patron or directly supporting the sponsors, writing reviews on Apple Podcasts or CastBox or in their things, spreading the word. So thank you everyone that I rely on, you know, to help me here, keep the show going. I really appreciate it. Also really counting on my team at Night Vale Presents. We're a proud member of Night Vale Presents. You could check out all their amazing shows, including as a recording, one of the newest ones, Harry Potter and the Sacred Text, a really podcast. If you're a Harry Potter fan, you've been meaning to reread Harry Potter. If you're curious about spirituality or your own, you know, your own spiritual journey, check it out, Harry Potter and the Sacred Text. We're also a member of PRX. You can check out all the amazing things they're doing at prx.org. And there's plenty of other episodes ready to go for you. I'm here all night long. It's your friend Scoots. Good night. All right, everybody. This is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on... in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only. And then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from. On Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is I think this is the 10 to I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlists or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. That's popping the all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had March is that bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabelix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.